Help them on their way. There is Wondering if Frank and Siri were visiting in Raleigh to try and get a house to live here again. I don't know why they live away down there at Wilmington where they get all those hurricanes and showers when they could live in a nice place like Raleigh. Nice to have you here today. May I ask you to open your Bibles at the book of Genesis? That's the first book in the Bible. The book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city, and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now look down at chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." The Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of the scriptures. Let us bow for a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, since we've been reading from thy word, we would beseech thee now to quieten our hearts and grant that we may hear thy word today in such a manner that it will bring conviction to every soul. May the Lord be exalted. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Genesis are interesting historical records. Actually, from the time of the flood to the time of Abraham, you cover a period of 427 years. Remember, at the time of the flood, the whole earth was destroyed. Only 8 people were preserved through the flood. And when Noah and his family came out onto the new earth to make a new beginning, God instituted a new order of things. Human government. Up to the time of the flood, you didn't have human government. The government of God. But after the flood, God commenced the new era with instituting the government of man. However, just as Adam failed in the garden, and those that developed from the fall to the flood failed in their responsibilities towards God, we also find in these 2 chapters failure again under human government. The chapters, of course, if you study them, they're linked on to the closing verses of chapter 9 and linked on to the opening verses of chapter 12. That is, from Noah to Abraham. But in between, in those 2 chapters, chapters 10 and 11, we have what you might call the time of development. It's a developing process. Now, if it was only 427 years, and at the beginning of that time you only had 8 people, 3 men and their wives, 3 men who were the sons of Noah and their wives. How many people do you think would be on the earth after a period of 427 years? Perhaps you're trying to reckon it up very quickly. You're saying, well, there wouldn't be very many. All right. How many people were citizens of this country 200 years ago? When the nation was established. And in 200 years, think of the population of the United States right now. I came here 36 years ago this weekend. The population of Raleigh was 50,000. 50,000. Today we're well over 200,000 right here in the city of Raleigh in that short period of time. And in the days that we're reading of in Genesis 10 and 11, families multiplied and grew and developed. So there was quite a development. But in that special time of development, you discover this. There were 2 plans that were moving along. There was the plan of the enemy and the plan of God. And what I've got to learn from these 2 chapters is this, that God has not handed over the rule of the world. God is still in control. And can step onto his own territory at will. He has done it before, and he's going to do it again. However, there's another plan that's busy. It's the plan of the unseen enemy. Now, when they came out of the ark, the first thing that Noah did was he built an altar. I want you to picture that scene. Noah, who has been preserved by God throughout the flood to judgment, he builds an altar. Try and picture that family gathering of Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. 8 people standing round that altar. What are they doing? They're offering a sacrifice to the God who had saved them. The God who had redeemed them from a cursed world. On the one hand, there's judgment. The other hand, there's salvation or redemption. Noah believed God. And there he is. He's now offering unto God a sacrifice. What impression do you think that would have on his descendants, his 3 sons and their wives? And then, and God gives them an order that if they scatter abroad, replenish the earth, repeople the earth, multiply. That's the message. And they begin to move. But there's to be that developing process. And as family after family scattered abroad, you remember that from Noah, the 3 great ethnic groups of the human race descend from his 3 sons. And they're going to go in different directions. Not only geographically, but morally and spiritually, they take different courses. And you read through chapter 10 and 11, you discover this, that the descendants of Ham become, as it were, anti-God. And as they move, they come to this beautiful part of the country called the Plain of Shinar. And they say, now, this is delightful. The soil's good. My, this will be good agricultural ground. This will be a lovely place for us just to locate. We'll settle down here. In fact, let us build ourselves a city here. We became builders. They're going to build a city. And nothing wrong with building. In fact, there's nothing wrong with building a little city. Provided that God is in the center. But they say, let us go too. And we're going to make brick. Now, a brick is a man-made thing. Men don't make stones. Stones are found in the ground. They are given by God. Brick is an imitation of the real thing. We'll make brick. And we'll build ourselves a city. And in the midst of that city, we'll make a tower. And that tower is going to represent the heavens. You see, the city would be the political gathering place. All the politics will be centered in that city. But if you're going to have a city ruled by human politics, then we can't do unless we have some kind of religion. And so we'll build a religious center as well, a tower. And on the top of that tower, we'll make it represent the heavens, what you today would call the zodiac. In plain words, they became worshippers of the stars. A lot of people today following their example. In fact, even in the News and Observer, every morning there's a little bit there that tells you what particular star is prominent at that time. And is it your lucky day? I suppose people must read that, or else it wouldn't be there. And in some of our bookstores today, there are rows and rows of books and little pamphlets dealing with astrology. Worshippers of the stars. Some worship the moon, some worship the sun. However, they're going to have the religious gathering center. There's the process. A developing process. But then again, you have to look at this other thing. The program. Who was behind this program? Who was it that stirred these people up to say, let us do this. Let us do the next thing. Let us make us a name. They're going to make a name for themselves. Lest we be scattered abroad. Isn't that exactly what God said they were to do? Why did they want to refuse to do what God said they should do? God said, scatter abroad, replenish the earth. They said, no, we're going to stay in the plain of Shinar. We'll have our city. And later on, you know, the great city of Babylon was a wonderful city. One of the world's wonders. Where is it today? And we're going to build this great tower. Why, when people see this tower, they'll applaud us. And our name will remain. Men are looking up at the great tower. God in high heaven says, what are they doing down there? Let us go down and blow on it. God came down and blew on the tower and it fell. Just like that. It ended up in absolute confusion. They couldn't even understand what each other was saying. Up to that time, one language. It's a strange thing that people who study languages today have come to the conclusion that all the languages of the world, all these different languages and dialects, must have developed out of one basic language. You know, you don't need to go to university to learn that. And you don't need to be a linguist to learn that. You can learn that from the Bible. They were of one language. So, and out of that one language they scattered. And they couldn't even understand. The idea is, not only was it a language, but it was the intonation of the words. The lip. How could you speak without your lips? Of course, there's some folk try to speak without opening their mouth at all. They just mumble. But I read in the Bible that the man who stood up and opened the Bible and read. And he read in such a way that everybody understood. They heard. But you know, if you go to different places today, as some of you have, you discover this, that certain words are pronounced in different ways in different places. Even in New York. I hope there's nobody here from New York. If you are, you'll excuse me. In New York, they never come to a stop street. No stop streets in New York. They're all stop streets. That's why I always detect them from the north. And down in the south, they don't know what a half is. It's a head. Well, that's the lips. You see, they're saying the same word with a different lip. That's all. He caused confusion with the languages. And what did it mean? It meant they had to scatter according to the talk, according to the language and words. A certain group went this way and a certain group went that way and they were scattered abroad. But the Bible says it ended up in absolute confusion. Now I want you to notice that chapters 10 and 11 of the book of Genesis give us that history of the development of the race for 427 years, the age of human government, ended up in absolute confusion. Now let me say this, in case you don't know, some of you do know this, maybe some that don't. That is only a faint picture of what this old world is rushing on to just now. We're coming very, very near again to the same idea. Here is the political outlook of men today. They want us all to speak the same language. They're trying it. They want us all to be united as one great world system. They tried it after World War I with the League of Nations. And it became a League of Notions and failed. So they tried again with the United Nations, and I've said from this desk before, and I make no apology for it, the only thing united about the United Nations is their name. There's nothing united about them, but they're doing their best. They would like to have the great system of the United Nations, but they know that there will be a necessary thing, and so you have today your great so-called World Council of Churches. What is the World Council of Churches and what is their objective? Their objective is to have one world religion. You say, well, they'll never have it. Yes, they will. Read your Bible. You come to Revelation chapter 13. Here you have one man who has the control of the politics of the world. The whole world will wonder after him. He's called the beast. That's what he is. And they'll be dragged in under the one political system. But what are you going to do about the religion? Well, he'll have his false prophet as well. There's a lot of them going around already, but here's a great one coming. And he'll set up the great world system of religion. And the World Council of Churches is just setting the road for it. They'll be prepared for it. They want it. And by the one world system of religion, you'll have to worship according to their pattern and their plan. And it's the worship of an image. And the worship of him who has the image. They'll worship the image of the beast. And they worship the beast. You say, but what about those that the minorities who refuse to do it? To make short work of them. If you don't bow to their political system and you don't bow to their religious system, you won't be able either to buy nor sell. If you went to the grocery store, the first thing they want to see is your number. If you don't have it, then you can't trade. You say, has this ever happened before? Of course it has. In a small scale, it's going to happen again. And if you don't bow to the orders of the beast and have his number, then you won't be able to trade, to buy or sell. And if you can't buy or sell, how are you going to live? They'll just make short work. That's all outlined to us in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. But here was the start of it, way back here in the book of Genesis. And the great system of Babylon is developing again in this world. And it's doomed to destruction. Bobby gave out some hymns this morning regarding the coming of the Lord. When God can move in these circumstances, and he'll move again. But notice this very carefully now. When you come to the end of chapter 11, the Spirit of God introduces what we may call a little genealogy, leading up to a man called Terah, who was the father of Abraham. Now, in chapter 11, these men are saying, let us make us a name. When you come to chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Man said, let us make us a name. God steps in and comes right down now from being the king or the god of the nations. And he put his hand on an individual. You see, God is not only in control of the world systems, He's above it all. He can step in as He pleases onto His own territory. But God is also the God of the individual. While men in positions of authority will be accountable to God for what they do, when we come to chapter 12, we learn that God is the God of the individual. You and I also have a responsibility towards God. God has spoken. And if God speaks and calls, our response should be to be obedient to God. Here's a man called Abram. He's dwelling away down in Ur of the Chaldees. All around him is a system of idolatry. A modern system. Modern politics. Oh, they've really grown, they've developed. But God says, Abram, I want you to leave this place. I want you to come with me. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll make of you a great name. Abram's name has become great. And the nation, not only one nation, many nations developed from him, but the outstanding nation is the nation that we call today Israel. You see, he had a special son called Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. The blessing of God came upon Jacob and his name was changed to Israel, the father of the nation. It traces all back to Abram, because Abram heard the call of God. He stepped out in faith. He believed God and left out of the Chaldees with all its modern civilization of that day and became a sojourner on the face of the earth, trusting God, placed his hand, as it were, in God's hand and went out not knowing where he was going. But as long as his hand was in God's hand, he'd be guided aright. Now I suggest to you then, as you read through these things, we've got to learn our lessons. Our lesson, first of all, is that man, when left to his own resources, is an absolute failure. Man without God must fail. A nation without God will fail. The sad thing is that this nation here where we are now was built by godly men, built on the principles laid down in the scriptures. The Bible was respected. The teachings of the Bible were adhered to as this nation developed. But here now in the 20th century, they're casting the Bible out. They've no more time for God. No God going to dictate to them. I'm waiting for the day when someone's going to rise in Washington at some meeting of the Congress and say, gentlemen, don't you think it's time we were returning to God and to the teachings of the Bible? My, he would be howled down. He would lose his position at the next election if he stood by the teachings of the Word of God. Oh, there's some of them up there believe those teachings, but my, they mustn't express it. Keep it to yourself. That's a personal. Keep it to yourself. Don't bring it into the house, or don't teach of it in the Senate. Oh no, why not? If this was the basis of it, you see, even on the coin it says, in God we trust. Do this. Not now. There was a time when the people of this country did trust in God. And the things of God were revered and respected. A man or a nation without God will come to disaster. They'll come to judgment. Just as Babylon came to ruins and ended up in confusion, this old world today is traveling on to another time of confusion. But for the project, when we take that principle now and we apply it to ourselves, any person who tries to live their life without God will end up in absolute confusion. A man or a woman who tries to live without God will finish up in destruction. There will be no place in heaven for the man or woman who refuses to bend the knee to God right here in this life. Remember, after we pass the boundary line, there's not a second chance. This is a time of probation. Just as God spoke to Abraham, God in His Word speaks to us today. If we refuse to listen to what God has to say, oh, my friend, listen. If you will not listen to the teaching of the Word of God, you're headed for eternal destruction. Well, I know that's not popular, but it's true. And the thing is this, while God is calling, just as He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, then Abraham obeyed God. He packed up and he left, believing God and following God. When God speaks to me or to you, it's time for us to stand still and say, if that's God's message, then that is what I must do. If God says I must accept Jesus Christ as my Savior in order to be saved, then that's what I'm going to do. I'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If on the other hand you say, well, I don't believe that, I'm just going on with the things of the world and I'll take what the world can give me, and you'll take what the world can give you and you'll go to destruction. An old preacher of bygone day was walking along the highway one day and he saw a man taking some pigs to the market. How would you take pigs to the market? Oh, you see, I'd get my truck out. And I'd get them up into the truck and take them. But they didn't have trucks in these days. This man raised a few hogs, but he didn't even have a horse-drawn wagon to take them. So how was he going to take them to market? Well, he had a brilliant idea. He had a bag of beans. As he walked along, he dropped a bean. And the pigs came to get the beans, and he kept dropping the beans, and they followed him right into the slaughterhouse. The old Methodist preacher saw it and said, ah, that's what I'll preach on tonight. The devil's bean bag. The devil's bean bag. And the old devil dropped the beans, you know, and he gets you going on for this, for that. So it's too late. So. Oh, my friend, listen. God tells no lies. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that has not the Son shall not see life. For the wrath of God abideth on him. Don't be deceived. Don't follow the world's systems, whether it's the political system or the religious system. Get right with God. And do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how. Oh, come to Christ, who shed His blood, and at the cross get right with God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another morning hour spent here. We think of the man in the glory today who was once on the cross of Calvary, waiting patiently to save men and women. Oh God, grant some poor, sinful soul today should turn to Thee in true repentance and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give Thee all the glory in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Our service is over, but if there's an anxious soul in this audience, please don't run away. We'll gladly sit by your side and help you with any difficulties you may have in knowing what it means to be saved. Thank you.